Hello, everyone. Hope everybody's having a great conference so far. Thanks for coming to my talk, The Monolake Story, How We Enable an Open Hardware Platform. My name is Sriram Ramakrishna. I'm the Principal Ecosystems Engineer for Sesame Engineering. So before we continue, I wanted to tell a little bit about me. I'm not a firmware engineer. I don't play one on TV or anything like that. And just in the context of, if you have deep technical questions, I will do my best to answer them. But otherwise, we hopefully have one of our partners who will be online to answer those kinds of things. So with that, let's move forward. So the Yosemite V1 Monolake. The Yosemite V1 refers to the chassis, and it was designed by Facebook in 2015 for hyperscale workloads in Facebook data centers. And with this collaborative effort, they were able to submit the specifications to the Open Compute Project. This particular chassis has four slots, allowing up to four servers or SoC cards per sled. Now, the SoC is a Intel Broadwell DE single processor that can support up to 32 cores, and we have four memory slots that will give us a maximum 128 gigabytes of memory per card. So you might wonder, how do you access these servers if they're all in one chassis? And the way that works is there's a BMC chip on the chassis that's actually running Facebook's version of OpenBMC, and you'll be able to get to these machines through IPMI and serial over LAN. Yosemite V1 is a hyperscale class platform because it was designed to be one. And so if you look at these racks, you can kind of see how the chassis fits in a rack. And one rack is 48 nodes, and each node has four slots. So with simple math, we have 192 discrete CPUs. And we didn't even add the cores that each of them have, and threads. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is this thing is a workhorse and can meet any computational needs that you might be thinking of. I think what's really wonderful about platforms like the Yosemite V1 Monolake is that it demonstratively shows the power of collaboration between giants like Intel and Facebook and various others. And thanks to their efforts, we have an open spec platform that we are allowed to share, build upon rather, and improve. And I think that's pretty awesome. And we have a link here that you can look at after the talk, after the slides are available, and you can look over these specifications and see for yourself. But before we get further into the slide, I just wanted to explain, what is the motivation for a company like ITRenew, who is a circular industry player, in supporting and updating platforms like the Yosemite Monolake? And it really comes down to the recertification and then being able to extend that support, right? So if you take a hyperscale machine from one of the hyperscalers that have been decommissioned, you can break them into their components, build a supply chain, and these components are microprocessors, NIC cards, memory, drives. I think you get the picture. And from that supply chain, we can build new servers and recertify them. And the great thing about that is if you purchase one of these recertified servers, you're saving on the carbon cost of manufacturing, upfront manufacturing. So that means that you're helping save the planet from climate change in some fashion, and that's a hot thing these days. But as well, we give these components a second life in another industry and extend them. But you might ask yourself, well, how do we do that? And this is where the argument about circularity depends on openness for success. We need that because ODMs like Intel, they work on a microprocessor, and then after a few years, they're working on a next generation of microprocessors, and they move their support from the old architecture to the new architecture and scale their support down for aging platforms. So if you're a Mono Lake or some other older platform, you're out there with not as much support as the new ones. So to keep that platform extended, we need to change the game and replace the proprietary portions of the Mono Lake platform and replace them with open source components and allow the community to help extend the lifetime of this platform. And so this is where Core Boot, U-Root, and Linux Boot comes into play. So with that out of the way, we've seen what it physically looks like, what its computational power is, and why we are interested in keeping this updated. So let's talk about what we did going forward. And the state of the Yosemite V1 Mono Lake at the beginning is you had an Intel FSP and a closed source UEFI BIOS firmware, which neither one are supported today. The other thing is the platform was designed specifically to support hyperscale workloads in Facebook's data center. So our challenge is to transform this single purpose platform to a multi-purpose platform that can be used for many different kinds of use cases in different industries. So the first line of attack is to start at the very lowest level, and that is the firmware support package. And that's the primary binary blob that expresses the Intel platform and all its capabilities. Now, if you look at this screenshot, this is from Intel's GitHub repository. And as you can see, it's labeled Legacy FSP Project for the Broadwell DE product. And the specification is still at version 1.0, and there's been no updates since. So the challenge now here is to update this FSP and then build a corporate image together and to form a new binary package. So first we did a custom Broadwell DE FSP based on the existing public Intel FSP that was already released, and using our partner Cispro Consulting, who did all the heavy lifting on this work, we were able to modify the support from 8 cores with 16 threads to 16 cores with 32 threads, right? So we've taken this FSP and improved upon it. And along the way, we fixed a bunch of other issues that need to get done and that needed for the core boot side to function the way we want to. Now, core boot and the FSP, the work is usually intertwined. You go back and forth, you work on both these levels. When it comes to core boot, we had to first base all our work on a 4.11 release. it is the last release where the FSP version 1.0 is supported. And after that, the support was removed. So that's the perfect starting point. And what did we do on that branch? We took fixes and features from the master branch of Core Boot, and then backporting it back to 4.11, right? So we get all the advantages of what people are working on today back on the 4.11 branch. And to do that, it's of course an iterative process to work with the FSP and the Core Boot code together, and then ultimately build a binary image that would support the features we wanted. And while we're at doing that, we updated the latest marker code on the platform. And all the work, as good citizens in the open source community, this work was upstream to the Core Boot project, and you can find it on the 4.11 Git branch. But yeah, Core Boot is just a thin part. Its job is to take it to a bootloader. So the bootloader is the next piece of level of the software that we want to work on. And in this case, this is where a lot of the features that customers want are exposed. So if you're looking to support IPMI or DHCP, all those things has to be done at this layer. And we were able to get a lot of these things working. We were even able to add support for generic booters to do things like Pixie Boot and so on. So what we're seeing here, we have the capability of being able to install operating systems from the network. We can also mount local file systems and boot the operating system from there, thanks to support for ButterFS, XFS, and all these other familiar file systems. Ultimately, we have a platform that works. And so we now replace a proprietary boot experience and replace it with an open source boot toolchain. Sans the FSP, but we did manage to modify that as well so that they all work together. And again, I'm going to thank our partner, Cisper Consulting, for that. So how did we make this work? Well, it was an iterative process again, but what made this work possible was the fact that it was the specifications are open. That means we get to see the schematics. We can see various other what kind of chips are being used and so forth. And then we have the debug tools and the flashing software and to get all this thing working. And of course, lots and lots of testing. And thanks to all that, we're able to have a successful boot to a Linux platform. So, and the great thing about this is the Monolith platform, I mean, it's rather good news about it, is that the Monolith platform has been accepted into the OCP Open System Firmware GitHub repo and will be available to the public. And if you look down below, there's a pull request that has been approved to allow us to merge it into the GitHub repository. What will you find inside that GitHub repository? Well, there is build scripts that will build the platform for you and let you have a binary output, a binary output that you can flash to BIOS chip. However, there are some parts that are missing, and I'm sure some of you are quite familiar with this, is that we don't have the license to distribute the ROMs that are required to build the entire image. So you'll have to figure out how to get the binary ROMs, but Otherwise, once you have the image, you can build a binary blob that you can finally flash on the image to the VMC in BIOS. So moving on, what's next? Well, the platform still needs work. It's still a work in progress. We have some of the features we want, but not all the features we want. There are some of the features are immature. There's probably bugs. It's not fully tested with various Linux distros, and we certainly haven't tried Windows on it. So that we need assistance from the community to help make all of this better. And by that I mean being able to put in, submit issues with things you've seen, maybe look at the schematics and suggestions, all these kinds of things that can help move the platform forward. Well, you want to help. We want you to help. So how can you help us or in some way? You need a Yosemite V1 monolith. Now, there's one way is to get the platform from IT Renew. Or we can wait. The OCP project is planning on building a lab where we would have monoliths and other open OCP platforms for people to play with. And from there, you'll be able to see how the platform works and play around with it as much as you like. We don't have a timeline, unfortunately, but we will definitely communicate to the community when we're at a stage that people can access these systems or at least give some update. But we're not done yet, not quite. We're also happy to inform you that we're working on another hyperscale platform called Tioga Pass, which is, again, an open spec system from the Open Compute Project. And I have given a pointer to that specification, so if you're curious to see what that is, you have a place to go and look. Again, the work we want to do is we want to move to an open boot tool chain. And that work is moving apace. One great news is that we are sending a couple of Tioga Pass nodes to help the Core Boot project's infrastructure. Now, imagine that you have an infrastructure running your own code and depending on it. I think that kind of thing is pretty exciting. It's certainly to me it is. But it's been a long journey, over a year. And I think we're finally going to see a parade of open systems coming in with an open source boot chain. And I find that exciting. I think these are exciting times for open infrastructure. And what can we do with open infrastructure is also exciting. If you look at the racks there, you'll see your regular rack, but you also see a mini rack. And this is where we take OCP design hardware and then reimagine them to different chassis. So here you have a chassis that you could fit under your desk. In fact, I have one under mine right now, which also has monoliths and a Tioga Pass and so on. And you'll be able to use them in an office location. But think about how you could also use them in edge computing. You can have various kinds of form factors. And all of this is possible because everything is out there to be specified. And as good citizens, we will, of course, inform people of the kind of designs we're doing. I am pretty much done with the rest of my slides. If all of you are interested and reaching out to me. I have my email address here. I have a Twitter, but it's not very technical, more like old man yells at clouds. So maybe not the best way, but feel free. And if you have very deep technical questions, our partner Cisper Consulting is a great place to go. They've done a great job helping us enable these platforms, both the Tioga Pass and Monolink. And I hope one of them is here to help answer some of the more technical questions. So with that said, I'd like to say thank you. Thanks for coming to my talk. I hope all of you have a great FOSDEM. And I wish I could have seen you all, but I thank you for your time.